Live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him, he's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey everybody, welcome to Black Friday. Kareem.
Yay.
Looking at you. Black Friday is going to have a special meaning because we're doing a segment I'm calling Black in America.
Oh, okay.
These are stories. Oh, that is so weird. Oh, I see what happened.
Oh.
No, it's fine. When I get a notification on the iPad, it mutes the audio a little bit, so it has a little dip there. I'm like, what's going on?
Makes sense.
We've got some sex toy news that this time will be exciting for men.
Hey now.
Mm-hmm. And what else? Oh, drunk raccoons.
Hey now.
Drunk raccoons.
Drunk raccoons, not Trump raccoons.
Going around with bad hair, orange skin.
And they've got thumbs. They're carrying the Make America Great Again signs.
Trying to build a wall of pine cones.
Build the wall of pine cones. I like that. The wall of pine cones. Maybe that's...
Thought you said drunk crack holes. That way, huh?
Drunk crack holes. Wait, what?
What was it? The wall of pine cones?
Wall of pine cones.
That's the name of the show. I have to name the episode while I'm thinking of it, or else I will completely forget. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. By the time you hear this, I will be on my way back from Vegas. It was a very quick trip.
So quick.
The perfect time for Vegas, 3 days.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
3 days in Vegas is perfect.
And I will have upgraded to the Hopper.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
Dish Network.
Dish Network?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I say, wait, are you like on the Friends and Family plan?
That was not the Friends and Family plan.
Did you get it so you can watch RFD TV? Do you hate high definition?
No, we have. Hopper has all HD.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to upgrade to it to get the HD. My dad has Dish Network, and it's just fucking terrible. But all he watches is one of the Westerns channels, and so it doesn't matter. He watches that and RFD TV.
So what is RFD? Oh, that's the station that Hee Haw comes off.
Yeah. It sure is. Hee Haw and cattle auctions.
Nate, it's a rifleman again. It's a rifleman.
Oh, my God. The visit's there.
How many episodes of The Rifleman have you had to watch?
I wish it were The Rifleman. I really wish. It shows you've never heard of. Ever. Like, it's just...
Oh, this is Peacock and the Goose.
I don't even know. Just terrible stuff.
This is three cards and one.
I mean, I get
one
it.
Dice.
I get it because I grew up when there wasn't anything on TV, so I completely get that this was great at the time.
But it's come so far, right? Like,
yeah, but people tend to like what they liked when they were at a certain age, and I mean, you know, all the assholes who were like, "Knight Rider is the greatest thing ever."
It's not.
You know what else isn't good? The Magnum PI reboot. What a steaming pile of crap that is.
I couldn't even get through one episode.
Why would they even do it?
I made it through one, and that was pretty much all I could take.
I couldn't get through any of those reboots.
It's still recording, and I'm like,
Why would you do that to your DVR?
I'm never watching these. Well, I set up a season pass because I'm an idiot.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Clearly a moron.
Like, you need to go in there and cancel that right away because that's you're wasting space. And
Because we've got the genie with DirecTV, when I was angry and wanted to cancel it, I tried, but it was set up to record in a different room. So you can't cancel the season pass. If I'm in the living room, I can't cancel the season pass that I set up in the bedroom.
You fucked yourself on that.
Yeah, no, I gotta go in the other room and cancel it.
Oh,
it'll be fine. It'll be okay. It'll be totally okay. We'll make it through it. I have to watch, Showtime's got a new, a limited series. I believe it's called Escape from Dannemora, about the prison break that happened in northern New York a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Ben Stiller was the executive producer on the project. It is not a comedy. And one of my friends who lived in upstate New York, the time I was living there too, was like, it's crazy how good they were able to capture the essence of what it's like to be in the North Country of New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that and kind of seeing how it all comes together.
Oh, I did watch the Johnny Cash documentary.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
Did you want to punch Dick Nixon afterward?
Oh, well, I already wanted to punch him.
Well, I mean, even more.
Yeah.
It was.
So, and then Rachel Maddow did a documentary about him, an hour-long documentary about him stealing the election from, which I already knew the information, or at least I already knew about the story anyway, how he, the Vietnam War went on longer than it was supposed to because of him.
Oh, yeah.
He really owned the libs, didn't he?
Oh, my God. This dude had they had a peace agreement in place between the North and the South, and he talked them out of doing it so that he could get elected.
Good times.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like when Reagan was going to beat Carter in 80 anyway. The economy was a certain way. But there was a deal in place between Reagan and the Iranians to release the hostages.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just coincidence that the hostages in Iran got released right after Ronald Reagan was sworn in as president.
Yeah.
That is not a coincidence.
George Bush, the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not called the Ronald Reagan Center. It's called the George Bush.
You ran right out of steam mid sentence there.
I thought it was going to work out.
Yes,
and I just should have said it with conviction. Sorry, guys.
Seriously, if that was an improv scene, you would have stepped out from the back wall, started to say something, and then you just went blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and then I would have been like, yeah, let's do this again.
And then someone would have wiped the scene.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I don't know if you're a Maddow fan or not, but the Bagman series that she had, podcast that she has, is really good.
Here's the thing about Rachel Maddow, and I like Rachel Maddow. I find her an interesting watch, but I've been drawn in one too many times to her little web, where she promises something, and she just does nothing but beat around the bush for. I mean, her wife must fucking love the way she just beats around that bush. Just the teasing and teasing for hours at a time. But here's the thing. It's like beating around the bush and then her wife never gets to come.
Oh, yeah.
Because the end of Rachel Maddow is never satisfying for me. There's never that thing that goes, aha, yeah, this was all worth it. And you know how you know that? And I feel like an asshole for falling for this. But if there was something really great, that would have been the first fucking thing she said.
Yeah.
And then it would have been an hour of talking about why that was great.
Mm. Yeah. But the podcast is better than that. Better than the show. Because there's so much shit that goes on in it that she can't, you know, it's going to get that she can't not talk about it. It's just so much stuff.
What's the podcast called? Bad Men?
The Bag Man.
The Bag Man.
Yeah. Because everybody talks about Richard Nixon and his impeachment. But nobody ever talks about why the vice president didn't end up as president.
Right. He resigned first.
Yeah. So that story is even crazier. That story is even crazier than, almost as crazy as Watergate.
I remember learning about G. Gordon Liddy, right?
Liddy.
Liddy. Yeah. L-I-D-D-Y. In high school, and thinking that he was, I don't know. I just remember thinking he was ridiculous. Like,
well, he was on Miami Vice, too. They made, like, a pop culture sensation of him once he got out of jail.
Yeah.
He was on Miami Vice. He had a radio show in Washington, D.C.
That's maybe what I think I...
He did every year he would do a calendar of girls in bikinis holding guns.
Yeah. But nobody talks about Spiro Agnew. The only thing you know about Spiro Agnew is that he was the vice president. That's it.
Also, he's the only person named Spiro I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
I've never heard of another Spiro.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, I know the... I know other Adolphs. I know Adolf Eichmann, Adolf Kors. I don't know any more Spiros.
Was Spiro he ever a governor?
He was either...
Governor of Maryland.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah, his shit went way back.
Yeah, that... that's why I was like...
Crazy.
That's why I was like... Yeah.
It's a crazy, the '70s were a crazy time. Yeah. Crazy, crazy time. All right. So this may be time for a bad Yelp review. Just saying it. A McDonald's cook tried to shove hot, crispy bacon in the face of her manager during a confrontation on Friday that resulted in an assault and a battery charge being filed against the worker. Now, cops say that the fast food employees faced off at the McDonald's in Bluffington, South Carolina. Kareem, you been to Bluffington?
I hope not.
after the manager, Tequila Cohen... Tequila Cohen, are you? Let's see, black or Jewish, Kareem? Tequila Cohen.
No, I already know.
Asked the cook, Josefina Jimenez, to stop eating bacon while she was working in the kitchen.
Oh, come on, man. This is great.
It really is. Now, when Jimenez continued consuming the pork delicacy, Cohen...
Wait, can you really call anything from McDonald's a delicacy?
Okay, a little confession here. Earlier today, I had to run out and pick something up, and I came back, and I had brought in some meat, but I didn't have anything else for lunch other than the meat. So I'm like, you know, I'll swing through McDonald's, I'll get a soda, and I'll get some fries. And as I'm pulling up to McDonald's, I see in the window...
Bacon
cheese fries. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the sweet fuck is this?
Did you just say bacon cheese fries?
I did. Bacon cheese fries.
From McDonald's.
At McDonald's. Yes.
God damn it. That's why I forgot my wallet.
Team Ilonia 5.
I might have to.
Anyway. When Jimenez continued to eat the pork delicacy, Cohen lodged a complaint with her boss, the eatery's general manager. Now, as detailed in the county sheriff's office report, Jimenez became angry when Cohen escalated the bacon beef. The employee allegedly backed Cohen into the corner and tried to force feed her, and this is in quotes, hot crispy bacon. Investigators charged that when Cohen sought to push away from Jimenez, the employee, still grasping the bacon, struck Cohen in the face. Now, Jimenez allegedly tossed a cup of unknown substance at Cohen. Now, after the women were separated by a third McDonald's employee, Cohen called 911. A police review of surveillance footage supported Cohen's account of the confrontation, and the sheriff's reports notes Jimenez had left the McDonald's by the time deputies arrived, which was about... The restaurant's about 20 miles from the Savannah, Georgia, which is where Jimenez lives. Presented with the sheriff's account of the incident, a judge issued an arrest warrant charging Jimenez with assault and battery. County jail records indicate that she has yet to be booked on the misdemeanor charge.
Can I just say something right now?
Like, yes, sir.
First of all, mad respect to that chick for 20 miles to go to a McDonald's to work. Like, and she, like...
Jason?
No. I understand. I'm
from that far out.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's not far.
20 miles?
No. Oh,
that's like one stop on the highway.
Yeah.
But there's McDonald's everywhere.
No, there aren't.
No,
there aren't. I come from small town in Vermont. The closest McDonald's is 15 miles from my dad's house.
But that's she lives in Savannah, 20 miles away, it said, right?
Yeah.
So Savannah probably has many McDonald's, right?
Well, maybe.
So I'm saying that she lives in Savannah. Why doesn't she work?
I don't know.
At
maybe
McDonald's?
Maybe Savannah is one of those places that doesn't allow McDonald's.
Could be.
All right, she's just loving it.
She's loving it.
The bacon. Well, look. If you could work, just hang out, work, and eat bacon all day, wouldn't you go to work? Wouldn't you drive 20 miles?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's funny is I wonder if the GM didn't even care. I don't care. She's doing a fine job. She's making fine hamburgers. And then Tequila is just fucking pissed. She's like, oh, I could... Because that's the type of thing I bet if I was a general manager, I'd be like, I'm still meeting all the numbers way ahead, so I'm totally fine if she's happy eating some bacon.
Unbelievable. You know the customers were getting shorted on bacon, right?
Oh, they better not have been.
They were totally getting
shorted on
bacon.
If they were getting shorted on bacon, then sure ass is out.
One, look, anything that had three strips of bacon only had two. Two for you, one for me. That's how she worked.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Now, meanwhile, also in South Carolina, two roommates who contacted cops to report that their home was burglarized, listed frozen pizzas, hot dogs, and a bottle of Jack Daniels. Oh, and the cremated remains of a relative among the items stolen.
Somebody didn't realize what they got.
When they got back to their Spartanburg home early Saturday morning, Alicia Mosley, 26, and Savannah Frucci, 25, noticed that their front door was unlocked. The women told police that after a break-in last month, they had the front door lock replaced, and they were the only ones with the keys to the new deadbolt. An inventory of their residence revealed the burglar, or burglars, swiped cosmetics, Roku devices, jewelry, and assorted food items. The stolen items also included Miss Frucci's grandfather's ashes. Oddly, the cremated remains were taken, but not the container they were in.
Wait, what?
That's right. The cremated remains were taken, but they left the urn behind.
Oh, then it's a family member.
Probably. Cops noticed no signs of forced entry at the front door and recovered no fingerprints from the rear sliding door. The ladies say that they didn't know who would keep breaking into their apartment. Now, while the report does not address why the ashes were stolen and prior thefts, intruders have mistaken cremated remains for powdered narcotics. They're snorting grandpa.
I believe it.
This is the good shit. Oh, man, there's some chunks in this one. I got a rock.
Oh, that's really unfortunate because
there's some gold in this.
they are not getting them back. Now, I need to let everybody know this. There's no such thing as the Illuminati. I'm going to save you all a lot of hassle here. There's no such thing as the Illuminati.
Mm.
Now, a South Carolina man should have been listening and heeding my words because he wired thousands of dollars to join the Illuminati, but then he had second thoughts about the decision and called law enforcement. Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office reported deputies were called to a Woodruff man's home regarding a fraud. When they got there, the man in his 60s told deputies that he was given false information about an organization in which he thought about joining. They instead stole his money. No, you gave them your money, you dipshit. The man told the sheriff's deputies the organization he was contacted to join was the Illuminati. Now, allegedly, the Illuminati was created in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, a Bavarian man, now part of Germany, who eschewed religion and founded a secret society to find another form of illumination, a set of ideas and practices that could be applied to radically change the way European states were run. Now, that's according to National Geographic. Not unlike the Freemasons, the members included noblemen, politicians, writers, intellectuals, doctors, lawyers, and jurists. The order was banned in 1784.
Wink, wink.
Currently, the Illuminati is viewed as either a secret organization of power brokers who control the world, or what it actually is, nothing. It's nothing. There are claims the Illuminati was behind the assassination of President Kennedy, the moon landing. reported members include Queen Elizabeth II and Beyonce.
Well,
it's the Illuminati.
People allegedly from the Illuminati asked the upstate South Carolina man to join the group. He only had to make a down payment of $250 to join. Now, that should have been his hint right there.
Yeah.
That's way too low a number for a down payment to join such a fabulous.
Just a document processing fee, Nate. Mm-hmm. All right, it's not the actual.
Sure, he obliged and told deputies he sent the money via Western Union. The South Carolina man then sent another $2,000, but changed his mind and called the sheriff's office, deciding that he was a victim of fraud.
They had me download this weird app called Venmo.
Now the good news is he also contacted Western Union and Capital One Visa, which he used to make the second payment, and he was able to cancel the $2,000 transaction. No suspects have been charged, but the sheriff's office reported that Western Union is currently investigating the case. So his lesson about there not being an Illuminati only cost him $250 and a lot of his time. There's no Illuminati.
It's funny.
It's coming to get you.
Anytime somebody tries to push some chemtrail or conspiracy theory, I just look at them and say, how do you think that a large governmental agency would be able to keep that much information secret from so many people without it leaking out? You see what already happens.
Well, here's the thing, Jason.
What?
They're just that powerful.
Yeah, right. I mean, it all comes out. It all ends up coming out anyways. Like,
by the way.
It all ends up coming out.
If Queen Elizabeth and Beyonce are in the Illuminati, you're not getting in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unless maybe
it's
you're...
It's not a matter of really coming out. It's whether people believe it or not.
Mm. Well, people believe all sorts of shit. Like,
and they don't believe all sources yet.
That's true.
That's how we end up with dumbass as a president.
All right, let me...
those same people were the ones that believe in chemtrails.
Oh, God. People start talking about chemtrails. I just want to go... Hey,
somebody tried posting something about it, and I was like, this is no basis in fact. In fact, when asked, like, among people that are actually studying atmospheric events, like scientists and engineers, they all say that this is ridiculous what you're talking about. And then they take little bits of, like, information to seed this disinformation even further.
And seed the clouds.
Yeah, because, like... But, I mean, like, they talk, like, and it's like, there's people are trying to come up with any ideas they can of how to protect us from our eventual demise from global climate change. And one of those is by putting things into the atmosphere. But, like, that's an idea that people have. Like, it's not...
Or it's jet engine exhaust.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, that could actually... There's scientists that are studying that type of stuff, but that doesn't mean that that's what's going on. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just exhaust. Yeah. And it just... And it furls out because it's vapor.
It's cold up there. And it's cold up there.
Yeah.
You dipshits. All right. Speaking of places where it's time for our new segment called Black in America. That's not the right music at all.
I thought you were getting down.
I was like, what in the hell?
What are you trying to say,
see,
Nate?
See, Kareem, I'm making a point. That's what it's like to be black in America. Kareem just went, what the hell? That's going to be a theme here. Just pay attention. Now, in an attempt to be woke, not really, here's the thing. It's really easy to go, all of these things happening with black people, it's all a coincidence. I mean, there are not really that many things happening. What's the big deal? It is an isolated incident, right? That's what we hear.
Mm.
Or it didn't happen. Well, it didn't happen a lot. So let's start in Wisconsin. This week in Black America, or Black in America, this week, you remember there were some students in Baraboo High School who were allegedly doing the Nazi salute. There was claims that, they're just waving. No, nobody waves like that.
Right.
Someone put on social media, we even got the black kid to throw it up.
I was legit since I've been dealing with this, like, people.
We even got the black kid to throw it up. Here's the thing, they didn't. WISN, Channel 12 in Milwaukee, tracked down, Jonathan Scheiber, who is the black kid. And he talked to them a little bit about what it was like to go to school in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Not a lot of African Americans in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
No.
This is heartbreaking.
Making jokes all the time, like all through our middle school, people were slanging the N word with the hard R, like tight, like it. You just got to drown people out. I'm using my headphones in school to drown people out. And all that small talk, that don't mean shit. Because everybody's like, go, Baraboo so racist, Baraboo this and that. Like, Baraboo mostly old people, you know, people don't be on that racist stuff around here. Like, I really don't. Like, yeah, people be making black jokes and, like, they think that shit funny. Like, it's really not funny. Like, it really get under some people's skin. When I first saw it, I mean, I was kind of in it, so I already knew it was from the, like, I knew what it was. I knew it was there, but, like, when I saw it really start popping up on these news stations and stuff, like, it was just crazy. People was just hitting me up, like, talking about, are you the kid from that picture? Like, how, why would you throw that up? Like, you clearly see in the picture my hands is to my side. Like, I went to school on Monday and people was like trying to take pictures of me, like, oh, you going viral, like all that stuff. I'm like, I just left school because I was not having it.
Yeah.
He's the black guy, so
it's okay.
He doesn't
want to be.
He doesn't want to be the angry black guy, so he lets shit pass. He's like, oh well, there it's not racist, not the racism shit going on. Like, no, it's racist shit going on. You're just choosing to, like,
Well, he says it and then he pulls back from it.
Yeah.
So he goes, yeah, there's all this stuff. You know, when he starts talking about. All through middle school, they started slinging the N-word with the hard R.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's racist, bro. I hate to tell you.
He knows it, too. Yeah. He knows it, too, because he steps up to it. But that's what this kid deals with every day, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say is not uncommon.
No.
So let's move on from that. Let's... unpleasantness, but we're not done. Hashtag rapping while black. Yeah, we can add reciting Jay-Z lyrics to the growing list of things black people must refrain from doing after a Tennessee man found himself at the center of an armed police confrontation and quickly realized that he had 99 problems and his neighbor accusing him of domestic abuse was one. According to TMZ, Devon Eddington was having a beer in his Tennessee backyard, talking with his brother about the Lakers' newest superstar, LeBron James, insisting that he would not become a Lakers fan overnight. He was like, "You're already a Lakers fan." I was like, "I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one." Yeah, it's lyrics. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. A police report obtained by TMZ shows that Eddington's neighbor called 911 after hearing him cursing outside in his yard, informing the call operator that Eddington had said he had 99 problems and this bitch at one. Eddington said the cops told him it was a misunderstanding, but he says this isn't the first run-in he's had with the neighbor, even though he's never actually met the man. I think maybe he doesn't want me in the neighborhood. Police didn't press charges for domestic abuse. Well, that's good. Authorities would not say if he was also being investigated on charges of big pimping or a criminal conspiracy involving money, cash, and or hoes. But hey, it's an isolated incident, right? A white college professor at the University of Texas, San Antonio, called the police on a black student and had her escorted out of class because she didn't like how she was sitting. In the video shared on Twitter, biology professor Anita Moss shows two police officers where the student is sitting so they can escort her out of class. This professor stopped class entirely and stepped out to call the police just because one student had her feet up on the seat in front of her. Now, mind you, she wasn't talking or interrupting the lecture. The person who posted the video wrote, "The class before the professor went on the whole tirade about how uncivil we all were because a few students were on their phone and not paying attention, cutting lecture time for the rest of us. How their ego was bruised." A Twitter user who identified himself as the victim of the apparent action pointed out, "She didn't violate the student code of conduct. This is me in the Anita Moss bio classroom. Upon entering class, I was told I needed to leave or I would be escorted out by officers. I never disobeyed the student code of conduct, not once. A police report is being filed at the moment. This is just the beginning. Thanks for your support." It's all isolated, right? A Dunkin' Donuts owner called the police on a customer after arguing over the company's free Wi-Fi policy. On Facebook, Terza Wilbon White posted a conversation she recorded with the franchise owner, Christina Cabral, at the Dunkin' Donuts in Fairfax, Virginia, minutes after arriving at the store. Now, White had frequented the store for the past 2 years, purchasing coffee and working on her laptop while using the free Wi-Fi. "I just sat down when a woman I had never seen before walked up and asked, 'Are you going to buy coffee?'" Now, White, who's 46, a former assistant professor at the University of Maryland and mother of two, said, "I told her I planned on buying coffee after I got settled, but not if it were mandated." Kareem, she got uppity.
If you tell anybody they got to do something that they were going to do in the first place, they're going to be like, look, bitch, give me a minute, or fuck it, I'm not buying anything. It's one of the two.
Don't offer free Wi-Fi to the public if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Just say.
And the crazy thing about that one is the owner never comes in the store. But the lady has been there enough where the people there know her.
Right.
So she's not some random person that went into the establishment. She's somebody who frequents the establishment.
Yeah, for 2 years.
Did you send the Menchie's one to us? Is that, or did I read that one on my own? Just another incident.
Oh, we're not done.
Okay. Do we have the Menchie's incident?
This is from Cordova, Tennessee. A former journalist said that African-American men were discriminated against at a Cordova mall for wearing hoodies. Now that mall is warning people to wear appropriate clothing. Kevin McKenzie told Fox 13 he captured the incident on his cell phone at Wolf Chase Galleria. The video shows the men being escorted out of the mall over the weekend. McKenzie said he noticed a white male security guard trailing some young men who appeared to have just come into the mall like he was a cat after mice, was the quote. He told Fox 13 he started recording because he didn't like the way they were being treated.
Good.
But I have good news for you, Kareem. I've entitled this, White Women to the Rescue.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So, some white women went to that same mall in Tennessee, and they wore hoodies. See if the policy was meant for everyone. No, apparently not. They were able to freely walk around the mall with their hoodies, both up and down, without ever being shown the exit. According to Ross Story, the initial incident that garnered national attention... they decided to do it for reasons I didn't hear. One young man in what appeared to be a nylon blue and white jacket with a hood that was not on his head was handcuffed by a Memphis officer and led away as my video rolled. That's according to the person who shot it. That's when the black sheriff's deputy approached me and told me I was also breaking mall rules.
What the fuck is that?
They don't like it when you take pictures in a mall.
Nope.
Because their fallback is it's private property. Mm-hmm. You can take pictures of your friends, but you can't take pictures of the mall.
Because then you're gonna get they don't want the evidence when they get sued.
There's a lot of reasons, but either way. So, several white women decided to use their privilege to see if the rules really applied to all mall patrons. They wore the hoodies. Said it just struck a chord with us that we could do that. We could walk through there and we could take pictures. We could wear whatever we wanted. Sometimes their hoods were up, sometimes they were down. If a security guard spotted us with their hoods up, they very politely asked us to take them down. One guard said it was because they needed to be able to identify everybody's faces. So we said, sure. We took them down, walked on, and we put the hoods back up a little bit later. Repeat, no threats made, point made. McKenzie told the TV station that young black men who were asked to leave the mall didn't have their hoods pulled over their heads before the police got involved, and Ennis said she and her friends had proved the point. So we're not against law enforcement, no rules at all, but they're enforced equally. I'm up for that. We made a total point that it's not enforced equally.
For real.
So, just, let's see, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5.
I have one more if I can add it real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
So, a guy was at a Menchie's overseeing a child visitation with a mom and a kid, and the Menchie's called the cops on him.
That was in Seattle.
Yep, up in Seattle.
I hate when the Menchie's call the mom. Oh, wait, what?
It was a yogurt place, but it was a scheduled visitation.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He told him it was a scheduled visitation.
That, like, he was supervising.
Yeah, that he was supervising.
It wasn't like he's deadbeat dad meeting up with his kid for the supervised visitation. No, he was there to supervise the visitation.
And the white lady told the people that on top of it.
But there's not a problem though, guys.
And the police still made them leave. That's the fucked up thing is that that the police didn't step in there.
The property owner says they don't want them there anymore.
So, we can joke about it all we want. And
let's find that the property manager didn't want them there anymore, but the fact that the police didn't explain what was going on to the property manager.
Yeah, like you're being an idiot. But we'll tell them to leave because you're saying that, but you're being an idiot. Yeah. And
because at least with the Dunkin' Donuts, the police were cool and that was enough to listen to the lady without being assholes. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a really interesting point that I thought, you know, let's take a look around and see just how, sort of like the googly eyes Google alert, how many stories a week. And by the way, there are more. These are just the ones that literally popped up without me looking. I guarantee there are more. I guarantee if I searched through a variety of sites that I would find more things. I know there are more. There were some that were far less interesting. But it, I don't, here's what I don't know. If we flash back, Kareem, flash back with me for a moment. Let's flash back to 2014. Okay? Donald Trump has not announced that he's running for president. Obama is the president of the United States. Are we better, worse, or the same in terms of situations like this popping up? I know we're more aware of them.
We're probably about the same, maybe a little worse, because there were a lot of white people that lost their minds because we had a black president.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they had to prove that they were still in charge. And that's pretty much what this is. They're still trying to prove that they're in charge.
Yeah. So, when somebody starts talking about how, oh, it's not a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. And I promised I would talk about this before. I have someone that I know, and I'm not going to get into who it is, but once again today, posted on Facebook, and this is Monday as we recorded this, another article, it's an opinion piece about how Jim Acosta was grandstanding and blah, 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 blah. And that's like the first sentence of this thing. And the person I know posted this thing and just said, interesting read. And I replied, this article is hot garbage from the first sentence.
Was that not the response he was hoping
because
for?
Because I'm done with this. Look, if you're one of these red hat MAGA chanting idiots, I'm not going to change your mind, and I'm not looking to change your mind.
Yeah,
I get that. You're stupid. If you're somebody who I think has a modicum of decency and intelligence, and you insist on posting shit like this. And by the way, if you post it with no comment or just interesting read, you're putting it out there. That is a tacit endorsement of whatever content you're putting out. FYI. So, interesting read. It's not an interesting read. It's utter fucking garbage. It's utter fucking garbage. And you know who agrees with me? The former commander of the Navy SEALs. It's fucking hot garbage. The President of the United States is attempting to normalize the vilification of the press. And, you know, by trying to ban Jim Acosta, now they back down now because they already lost a court battle on this.
By somebody who he appointed.
By somebody he appointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you went to your dad to complain about something and he went, yeah, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Stop posting this ignorant bullshit. It's ignorant. And I swear to God, I'm not going to. And his reply to me was, well, something about having an open mind. And I said, if I told you the grass was green, would you accuse me that I didn't have an open mind? And then I ended it with, one man's interesting read is another man's hot garbage. I'm done.
Boom.
I'm done. I'm done with all of your nonsense. And by the way, if I care enough to reply, I actually have some respect for you. Let's not erode that.
Yeah.
You've got to be smarter than this. You've got to be. If you saw Jim Acosta and Donald Trump in that exchange, even if you don't like the grandstanding and the peacocking that Jim Acosta does, if you want to call it that, even if you don't, if you look at that exchange and you decide that the thing that you want to call out is Jim Acosta in that situation, you're endorsing that bullshit. You're endorsing it. Own it.
Without a doubt.
Just own it. How many times has Kareem said, just own it?
Yeah. Wait, say, why the fuck are you calling on Jim Acosta if you don't like him?
Exactly. I had a long thing that I had written, and I deleted it because I said, you know what? I've got a podcast. I can talk about it there. Here's the thing. Jim Acosta, if you don't like him, don't call on him. If he does that where he stands up and starts blathering on, you say, hold on, Jim. Do you have a question? If you do, could we please get to it? You can even come back with, I'm not going to dignify that with a response. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
There's a dozen different ways to handle someone who is behaving in a way that you don't care for. And the root of it is, they're challenging what the bullshit that you're saying.
Well, and they're speaking to you the way that you speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm not going to be bullied anymore.
I'm talking to you the way, like, you talk. You're going to grandstand. I'm going to grandstand.
Yeah, you have set the tone.
And I'm just following that tone.
You've set the tone for the room. Whether you like it or whether you don't, if what you're taking away from that, and I've said this before, if what you're taking away from it is you don't like Jim Acosta, and you don't say anything, and then it's always, well, I don't like what Trump did either, but you didn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
That you just let lie. Yeah. That is a tacit approval of what's going on. And by the way, look it up if you don't know what it means. I did, because I wanted to make sure I was right.
What, a tacit approval?
A tacit approval. Because I went like, wait a minute, I think I'm right. And then I had that doubt. I'm like, I don't want to put this out there and be wrong, because then I'm going to look like a real idiot. So
it's pretty much approving by being lazy.
Well, a tacit approval is basically approving of something by not saying anything.
Right, yeah.
Like if you were to say something absolutely absurd on this show, and I just went, and moved on and didn't even do anything to go, well, where the hell did that come from?
Well, I like at least two fingers in my butthole.
Okay. You know, I'm giving you tacit approval for two fingers in your butthole. I don't give a shit. Whatever.
It's actually not actually what happens afterwards.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, whatever works for you. I'm gonna get all up in your business, so to speak.
Oh, not your two fingers. Sorry, I didn't specify.
Oh, you mean thin fingers like a lady?
Yeah.
Thin lady fingers.
Lady
fingers. Jason wants two lady fingers in his butt.
He actually wants two thumbs.
No, I want actually like really well-made lady finger cookies in my butt.
That's where I was going. Thank you for meeting me there.
Back. Use some espresso and you have a nice enjoy. Little tiramisu.
Sex toy news.
In my butthole.
That's right. It's sex toy news in your butthole. All right, well, the Scottish Sun has the breakthrough. Mind blown. The world's first oral sex robot has been created by analyzing hundreds of hours of porn.
Yes! Oh my God, I've been waiting for this.
That's right. The sex bot learned the actions after studying 108 hours of video porn.
Yeah.
And it can also learn a user's desires to move accordingly.
Put it in.
Yeah. This is good news for men.
No.
Oh, this isn't going to be anything. I was playing it. I need to go back to the. I need to go back to the music here. This is amazing. Okay. So the video is amazing.
Put it in.
Wow! Look at that! Wow!
The guy working on getting a penis stroker.
Milking a cow.
The auto blow too. Yeah, you don't want to get anything caught in there. Too bad.
It has 10 speeds and gives a quieter experience that won't alert others.
I like it. I'm in so far. I mean, what more do you want?
It's involved the work of PhD engineers, the development of it.
Well, don't you have to have a PhD to be an engineer?
Yeah.
That's kind of redundant. The video, though.
Oh, they're looking for the real-life movements that occur during oral sex.
I mean, you gotta like, look, they've got code.
They got code, and they had, like, I see it, like the hand motion on the bass.
Sure.
And then they look at different mouths. Ooh, mouth position data.
That's important. Trained on a model that had classified sequences of head movements into clusters.
Oh.
And used the movements they discovered to create the product's modes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The inventor has vowed to keep up the research, so.
He's in the orgasm business now, bro.
That's right. And business is good.
And business is good.
Kareem, you're not into that?
No.
It had a nice collection receptacle in it also.
Yeah. You just take it and rinse it out. It's probably dishwasher safe.
Oh, definitely dishwasher safe. Just don't use the auto dry. It dries out the rings.
Well, you know what you also don't want to do? You don't want to use a really harsh bottle brush on that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Well, you also don't want to use a bottle brush and then use it on your bottle. I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. No. I don't know what goes on in your house. Or do I?
Hmm.
What's so wrong with that, Kareem? Women have vibrators. They do their thing with those. What's so wrong with the oral sex machine?
It's not that there's anything wrong with it per se. I would just be afraid that something would get stuck.
I'm pretty sure if you use enough lube, you'd be fine. All right. Meanwhile, two local police officers in Washington, D.C. are caught up in a misconduct investigation involving a prostitute. The investigation started about a week ago after an officer with the police department in Prince George's County, Maryland, was accused of paying a prostitute for sex in Northeast D.C. The officer was off duty. However, here's the rub, so to speak, and tug. It happened inside his marked police cruiser. The officer has been suspended as the investigation continues. An officer with the D.C. Police Department is also accused of misconduct in connection with the same investigation. The D.C. Department will not elaborate on the specific allegations against the officer, but it does say that the officer involved will not be allowed to interact with the public until the investigation is complete.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wicked. Wow. Both officers are subjects of a criminal investigation led by D.C. police, also being investigated by their respective internal affairs divisions. The last few weeks have been difficult for the Prince George's County Police Department. In late October, an officer with the department was indicted on rape charges, accused of forcing a driver to perform oral sex during a traffic stop. Not okay! Another officer was suspended earlier this month. Following reports, the officer demanded money from a driver in exchange for leniency with traffic violations.
Hmm.
Baltimore.
That's Northeast D.C. That's
how we roll.
That's some
crazy.
Woo, woo! Oh, shit. Better get the lipstick out.
Some crazy, crazy stuff.
Need to get out of another ticket.
Florida. Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Oh, Jason's kicking stuff off tables. Yeah. Elderly woman was so worried about the meth that she was smoking, she took it to her doctor. That's right. A Polk County woman brought a clear plastic bag to her doctor's office and asked for it to be tested because she was scared what smoking it was doing to her and wanted the doctor to check her well-being.
Oh, man.
She was 73 and the bag contained methamphetamine. Now, according to the Polk County Sheriff's Office, Barbara Lee Ray went to Complete Care Family Medicine Associates in Fort Meade and pulled three items from her green and orange-colored handbag. A small clear plastic bag containing a white crystal-like substance, a small plastic container also containing a white crystal-like substance, and an empty prescription bottle with the name Barbara Ray on the label. The small bag and plastic container both tested positive for meth. Now, aside from telling the doctor she was scared that smoking the product might be doing her some harm and requesting to test, presumably give her some peace of mind, it's not clear where she got the meth or why she was smoking it. Now, according to the arrest report, she said that she had been using it for about a month. The 103-pound, 5'4" Ray was taken to the medical center for clearance and then booked into Polk County Jail on 2 counts of possession of methamphetamine, 2 counts of possession of drug paraphernalia. The report does go on to note that Ray, who was released from jail, did not overdose on medication, nor had the suspect consumed medication. The suspect appeared under the influence of methamphetamine at the time of her contact and arrest.
Wow.
That's a crazy Florida story.
I wonder if somebody, like, one of her, like, a kid that was taking care of her is like, this is better than your medication, Mom. Take this instead. And, like, was like, I'm going to take your money and I'm going to invest it wisely in some Bitcoin.
I'm going to invest it wisely in some Bitcoin.
Right? Something I've had, like, because you did not know. Oh, you son of a, you got to do it every time and be like, you got stitches. Like, we can do some stitches.
Well, we gotta move on. A wedding crash was the last dance for a woman. A female wedding crasher arrested on a Sunday after barging onto the dance floor at the Florida Lions Club. You don't dance to Stitches, you dance to Aaron Carter, bitches. While the bride and groom were on their last dance. Now, investigators charge that Christine Chandler, 46, slipped into the Treasure Island venue around 10 p.m. on that Sunday. The uninvited Chandler, who lives across the street from the club, entered through a gate on the side of the building. Once inside, she proceeded to enter the dance floor and began dancing while the bride and groom were having their last dance.
Wait. The bride and groom having their last dance?
Yes.
Who has a last dance at the dance?
People who are doing a big departure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everybody gather around, watch them dance, and then they're going to leave. She left the Lions Club, but subsequently returned and entered in the middle of the dance floor, which was filled with wedding guests. Chandler was again escorted to the exit, where she encountered police. Witnesses told cops that she was belligerent, caused a scene at the reception, saying, "I'm not fucking going anywhere." Charged with disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor, she was released from jail the next day after posting a $150 bond. Her rap sheet includes numerous arrests, including collars for burglary, or battery, sorry, theft, trespass, disorderly conduct, disorderly intoxication, burglary, ah, there it is, and resisting arrest.
So a lot of getting drunk and doing stuff, stupid stuff.
And fellas, she's single. I love this. So West Virginia, they don't have enough problems, right? Now they're dealing with drunk, disorderly, and sometimes wild creatures of the night. And that's nothing new for police there. But this wasn't a pedestrian disturbance. Residents in Milton had been calling police to report erratic raccoons that they believed to be rabid. But after officers made their first apprehension of one of the suspect masked bandits, an investigation showed they were not rabid. They were simply intoxicated.
Of course.
Turns out they appear to be drunk on crab apples. One raccoon was caught with the help of neighborhood residents, while the officer had an assist from the city street department on the second arrest. No charges were filed on both raccoons, one of which the officer's named Dallas.
Hey, Dallas! These apples are amazing!
Dallas, you're drunk again!
You found a good apple pile this time.
The rotting apple pile. While this was a false alarm, police warned residents they're not necessarily out of the woods on the rabies scare, saying if you see a staggering and disoriented raccoon, please do not approach it or party with it. It could be sick, so call us. We'll take care of it. In terms of animals getting drunk, this is not an isolated case. And remember, back in October, drunk birds were wreaking havoc in a Minnesota town. Thanks to an early frost, which caused berries to ferment earlier than normal. And based upon a report in National Geographic, if it eats, drinks, and breathes, it can get drunk. For example, there have been reports of moose, deer, bats, and even butterflies being tipsy. And let me just say this. Don't try and get an animal drunk. Don't be that guy.
No.
I don't care if you live in Florida. Don't be that guy.
Don't do it.
You know you want to. You know you want to. I remember as a kid, such an asshole thing. They have suckerfish. You know what suckerfish is?
They suck inside of the jar.
No, these are like full grown fish.
Oh wow!
Their mouth looks like a sucker.
Okay,
it's about the size of a bottle cap. so I had a friend who had gotten some beer and went fishing, and underage, so I don't know why he's giving away beer, but he pulled a suckerfish out of the river and poured like half a bottle of beer into this poor fish and then watched it swim away weirdly. Yeah, it swam away weirdly. It wasn't drunk yet. It was just it was just bloated with all your beer.
Yeah.
And it was inhaling the alcohol through its gills.
I guarantee that fish died moments later of acute alcohol poisoning. So don't try and get your dog drunk either.
But you just lost the beer.
Right.
He likes beer.
I mean, your horse, go ahead. I don't care. It's a hit. If you got a horse, go ahead and get it drunk.
Fuck your horse.
No. Don't fuck your horse.
No, I wasn't saying. It would be a little painful.
Look.
I was saying, like, fuck, like, man, like, I don't give a fuck about your horse. But, like,
thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Again, if you live in a small town, don't fuck your horse.
Yeah, don't.
You will go to jail.
I hope so.
People will talk.
And people in jail will really, really help you with that. All right, it's time to head back to Grand Forks, North Dakota. And Marilyn has got an article for the weekend at hand. It brings fluffy snow hockey and a bunch of lawyers to Grand Folks. For cheerful souls among us, the first snow of the season is beautiful. For grouchy folks, the response is bah humbug. For jolly youngsters with sleds, it's a chance to slide down the hill along Lincoln Park Golf Course. The class that graduated 40 years ago from UND School of Law is holding a reunion this weekend. If there are any legal problems that come up at the hockey games against Western Michigan, those lawyers should be able to help out. Those were three things that had almost nothing to do with one another. All right, so there were 65 lawyers who graduated from UND 40 years ago, and Bruce Quick of Fargo, who was class president, says about half of them will be back this weekend, the other half dead. I don't know. I made that up. They're probably fine. They just don't want to go back to North Dakota. Tonight, they'll eat Rhombus Pizza before the game. Saturday, the lawyers will gather at the green room of the Ralph. I spent a lot of time at the Ralph in college, too.
Yeah, ditto.
And the memories will flow.
Yep, Ralph. Yeah. Memories flowing. Sounds about right.
They probably will talk about hanging out at a place called Judy's.
With the big booty.
A place called Judy's.
Tiger versus Phil on BR Live.
Oh.
Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Thanks.
Wow, thank you.
Get right on that. Things have changed, but the law school enrollment stays about the same, according to the director of alumni. There are 240 students in three classes this year, and the interim dean is Brad Myers. Thanks, and check out the big braid on Brad.
Yeah, look at the braid on Brad.
All right, it's time for Ask Marilyn. How come this seems to be Wilma Smith Day in Grand Forks? Well, it's because she's been so outstanding and well-known for her work at Valandry's for 32 years. She's not done riding her bike and tending grandchildren.
Yet.
Hey, what time is the basketball game Saturday? Well, the men will be home from their travels and have a game with Minnesota Morris at 3 p.m. at the Betty.
Oh, in the Betty? She's big.
Where is the UND fan luncheon today? Well, it's scheduled in room 4 at the Alris Center. Tickets are $12 and lunches have been better than good.
So, good plus?
Right. Well, for $12, that's not bad. What interesting license plates have you been seeing around here lately? Not yours, URS, on a Hummer. Some asshole still drives around a Hummer?
They've been coming out of the woodwork with the races.
Also, Frog Mom, UND fans, and For You Sunny. By the way, in case you were wondering, the cheerful people of the week are Kareem and Jason. No, they're not.
No.
Fuck this shit.
It's Whitney Berry and Terry Bretter. They're the cheerful people of the week.
Well, hooey for them. Great. Awesome. That's great.
It really is. By the way, we haven't really been pushing it that hard, but you know, you really should be doing your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Why haven't you done it?
Especially today and Monday.
They've been having Black Friday deals listed a little early. If you miss those, Cyber Monday's coming up.
Cyber Monday, bros.
Cyber Monday's a big deal. And yeah, you can get a variety of things on Amazon. Make sure you click through that Shop Amazon tab at the top of the site.
Click through.
Helps the show out, doesn't cost you anything extra. It's really the least you can do.
I mean, we provide you with hours and hours and hours and hours.
636 shows now.
It's like 630 hours.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of fun times. A lot of good times. A lot of complaints.
It was the best of times.
It was the worst of times.
Only like 300 and some odd more, and we'll finally start getting good at this.
Or we'll do 30 more and call it a day at 666. Still haven't decided that yet. You never know. Everybody, have a great weekend. If you've got a few bucks lying around, you might want to think about donating to the fire relief for, you know, the town of Pleasure.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean Paradise. The American Red Cross, Salvation Army, both good places to drop $10 if you got it. And, yeah, be nice to each other.
Yeah, be nice.
Be nice.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah. Hey. That's what we do here. Don't be an asshole. Coming up on Sunday, it's also this weekend, bottling the second anniversary ale at Yolo Brewing Company.
Boom.
Saturday. Sunday is anniversary number two, so I'll be enjoying beer.
There you go.
That I worked hard for.
Work it.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week with more fun and frivolity. Hopefully, I can avoid Trump. That's my goal.
Let's try to.
My goal, that I tried. I really did. I really did, but the president of Finland did not tell him to rake the forest.
He did not.
By the way, who's going to rake the forest if not those illegals that are trying to come in? Look, we can take this and make a positive of it. Look, if you want to follow Finland's lead, I say this. Rake every motherfucking forest in the country, but we get universal health care, and everybody gets college education.
Let's do it.
I'll make that trade.
I'm okay with that.
I'll make that trade every day of the week. You all shut the fuck up about the forest. We'll rake them all. But we get health care for all. And we get college education. And by the way, maybe do something about getting rid of these huge student loan debts that these poor millennials have.
Yeah.
I'm feeling philanthropic. It is the season, bitches. We'll see you next time.